Welcome to the Philadelphia branch of Lighthouse Chapel International, under the leadership of the Presiding Bishop Dag Hayward Mill. This denomination has grown with several branches all over the world. We are delighted to come your way with the anointed Word of God, which is able to heal, deliver, and save you. Stay tuned with your heart to receive God's Word through His servant, Reverend Gilbert Fleischer.
Be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. All right. So, we have been talking about the secret. The secret. How many of you have been here the past 3 weeks? Even if one time? Let's see by hand if you've not been here at all the past 3 weeks. This is your first time in 3 weeks. All right. So then we have to do a little bit of quick summary. Amen. God will be our help. All right. So we're talking about the secret. This year is our year of greatness. Lift up your hand and say, this is my year of greatness. Say, according to the word spoken to me at the beginning of the year, this is my year of greatness. Say, I shall be great. According to Psalm 71:21, this is my year of greatness. Say, the Lord himself shall increase my greatness. Amen. So, the key to greatness is the secret. All right? After all, Psalm 71 verse 21, which is our key verse, says, the Lord shall increase my greatness. The Lord shall increase my greatness. You cannot increase your greatness by yourself. It is the Lord who will increase your greatness. It is God. It takes God to increase you. Lift up your right hand and say, it takes God to increase me. Say, my increase cometh from God. Amen. So if you can understand Psalm 71:21, which is a prophetic word for the year, then you can also understand that then it depends on God. And therefore, it depends on you being dependent on God. The secret is the quiet time. It is the quiet time. That is a consistent, regular time spent with God. A consistent, regular time spent with God. A consistent, regular time that you spend with God. Amen. You spend time with God, you speak to him, and he speaks to you. You talk to him, and he talks to you. It's a consistent time spent with God. Not once in a while. Not once every 2 weeks. Not once every week. But a daily, consistent, regular, frequent time with God. And that is the secret. Now, when you look at every great man of God, there is no great man of God without the secret. That is why it is called the secret, not a secret. It's not a generalized secret. It's the secret. It's the ultimate secret that makes the difference between you and God and where God will take you. That consistent time with him. Amen. So we're looking at the effects of this consistent time with God, the effects of the quiet time on your life as an individual. Isn't it? And that's what we're looking at. So we said, number one, the quiet time breaks down evil strongholds. The quiet time breaks down evil strongholds. It breaks down Satan's holds. It breaks down strongholds. It breaks down evil strongholds on your life. Amen. No matter what it is, if it's a habit or something that you are struggling with, a consistent time called the quiet time, which is the secret, spent with God every day, will make a difference. It will break down evil strongholds in your life. Amen. In Jeremiah 23:29, it says, "Is not my word like as fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" So the word of God, the quiet time, the time spent with God, as God communicates with you and you talk to God and God communicates with you, and as you interact with his word and engage his word, the Bible says that that word is like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. Amen. So it doesn't matter how big the rock. In fact, the bigger the rock, the more time you actually need to spend to get the effect of the hammer, isn't it? You can imagine trying to break down, you know, a huge rock. You got to hit it quite a number of times to break it, isn't it? And that is the word of God. Number two, a daily quiet time leads to the cutting away of unwanted aspects of our lives and character. Amen. Yeah. God will cut off, God will prune, God will cut off little parts of your life that you don't like. How many of you here have parts in your life that you don't like? There are parts, you are doing certain things that you don't like. You know that it is not consistent with God. You see? And those things have to be eliminated for you to be great. Yeah. They have to be eliminated. And the way it is going to be eliminated, it is through a consistent time spent with God. The secret. This secret. Yesterday, I was pondering over this secret, Psalm 91 came into my mind. It says, "Blessed is the man who dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High." Dwelling in that secret place, you have a secret with God. You have a one-on-one time secret. Secrets are not open. Secrets are intimate, personalized times spent with God. Yeah, that is why a husband and a wife have their own secret moment. Secret moments. Don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. Those times are not times that everybody stands to look. They are secret, intimate, secret place of the Most High in secret. He's blessed. And you see, in fact, one day I'll preach on Psalm 91. I realize that it's a preachable chapter. It can be a whole convention. A secret place of the Most High. Yeah. I feel like having a convention on it. Amen. You'll be blessed. So as you spend time, that intimate time with God, gradually chops off, cuts off little bit. I don't know about you, but God is still working on me. Tap your neighbor and say, "God is still working on me." And if your neighbor is not tapping, or ask your neighbor, don't you have something that God needs to work on? Yeah. So God will work on you. You see, it takes more than just church. Just want a Sunday, you know, want a week service, and then you go home and you don't have. In fact, what church service should do for you is it introduces you into things. You get me? Into topics and to certain verses, and you should dwell on it the whole of the week. Like this must know verses or this verse of the week. It should be a source of meditation. Today we are going to Obadiah. Yeah, it should be a source of meditation throughout the week. That consistent time with God is what will do the trick. Amen. Then we got to number three, and we are stuck there. We've been stuck there for 3 weeks. And this morning I was saying to God that I think I should move on. But there's so much meat there that you cannot just run away. So hopefully this will be the last section on number three, which is a daily quiet time will bring great spiritual growth to your life. A daily quiet time will bring great spiritual growth to your life. Isn't it? Listen, you cannot be great if you remain a baby. You cannot. You cannot be great if you remain a child. Because a child differeth not from a servant. Yeah. scriptures. A child differeth not from a servant. When you are a child, there is no difference between you and the servant. My Bible says that that child remaineth under tutors. He remained under people to teach him, because you need to come up. You need to grow up to inherit. Are you understanding? So you need to grow up. Listen, make growing up spiritually as an emergency in your life. Be tired of the level that you are in. Be tired of the level that you are at. Be tired of that level. Be tired of that level. Be tired of... Lift up your right hand and say, I'm tired of my level. Say, I need to go higher. Say, I need to grow up more spiritually. Yeah. And there's no limit to spiritual growth. I bet you we can spend our whole life on earth and grow every day. And when we get to heaven, we'll still grow. Amen. I said, when we get to heaven, we will still grow. All right. So, we started talking about the fact that just as in the physical, we have different levels of, or different categories of people. In the spiritual realm, we also can identify a similar group. We have babies, we have children, and we have adults, isn't it? Now, let me make this distinction that with the spiritual realm, it does not necessarily follow a chronological pattern. Spiritual things are different, because one day to the Lord is like how many days? There's no chronology. So a person can be a baby today and can just shoot through and be an adult. In fact, when you read scriptures and you study scriptures, you see that a lot of times that the Bible compares and contrasts babies to adulthood. Even though the Bible also talks about children. Children are tossed to and fro, like we talked about last week, isn't it? So there's really no that you have to be in kindergarten 3-4 years, then you go to whatever, and then you go to another stage. No. It depends on the input. A baby Christian today can spend, and you see that all the time. You see people in church who just got born again 2 years ago, and they have overtaken people who were born again 10 years ago. Is it not true? Yeah, I'm sorry, but it is true. You see, so it depends on your input. Amen. So today I want us to talk briefly about adulthood. Let's turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Every now and then I bring my big Bible, so we know that there's a Bible. Tell your neighbor that there's a Bible. Yeah, everybody must have a real Bible at home. Even if it's too big, you can't carry it. You can't carry it. Just have a Bible. Your Bible cannot be your phone. That's why you do not have effective Bible studies and quiet time. Because as you are holding your phone or your tablet, then Facebook pops up. Then an email pops up. Then you want to look, isn't it? Yeah. And then by the time you realize that Bible study has finished, and now you are just looking at just pure, you know, social media. So today I'm reading from my Bible. Read from your Bible too. So in Ephesians chapter 5, let's start from verse 11. So Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11 says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. So what God is telling us here, how many of you know that God is talking to you? All scripture is given by an inspiration of God and it's profitable. It's profitable for all, isn't it? So it's God is speaking to you. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is speaking to me. Say, this is to the Hebrews and me. All right. When you are reading the Bible, personalize it. See yourself in it. All right? If you're waiting to see your name in it, you may not, because not all names are in there. Then verse 12, or let's look at 11, it says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. You see, so there is a stage in a person's life that they are dull of hearing. Dull of hearing means that you can't understand things. And I can tell you, in my little corner, as a pastor, I keep saying I've not been a pastor for many years, but there are some people or certain times or certain occasions that you cannot confront people with the word as you would want to, even as a pastor. Because, I'm sorry, we read the scriptures, they are dull of hearing. They are dull of hearing. In fact, your talking to them may rather drive them away. And then you lose them. And one of my saddest moments when I lose a person. See, when I lose a person from church, it has nothing to do with numbers. That you are here and then you make the number instead of it being, 99, the 1+1 makes it 100, then we look great. No. I lose the opportunity. That's my greatest heartache. My greatest heartache is I lose the opportunity to be a source of influence to you. I lose that opportunity to be of a source of great influence. That God, I lose that opportunity of God using me to bless you. That is what hurts me. And to help change something about you. That is an ache, heartache. All right? So sometimes you are dull of hearing. Tap your neighbor and hold your neighbor's ear. Don't pull it. Hold it gently and say, I know this ear is not dull. Wow. Did you see how Mr. Ganyu touched his wife's ears? Mr. Ganyu, we are in church. I like worrying Mr. Ganyu so much. He's a very young man. And his wife is also young. You know they went on a honeymoon recently? You should ask, talk to them. Are you here? Yeah, so don't be dull of hearing. Let's go on. So it says, for the time you ought to be teachers. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers. You see, one of the characteristics of adulthood, or in other words, we'll see, the description of the perfect state of a man is when the person has become a teacher. When you move to the point where now you can also impact something into somebody. That is a sign of maturity. It's a sign that you are growing up. It's a sign that you are maturing. It's a sign that you are moving on to perfection. So it says, for the time you ought to be teachers, and there ought to be a time such as this, that you become a teacher. Ought means there's no way out. You ought. Lift up your right hand and say, I ought to be a teacher. Say, I ought to be a teacher. Say, I ought to be a teacher. And that is where we are trying to push some of you, but you won't go. You've been a Christian for many years. Many years. Many, many. Not one, not una, not dos, not tres, not quat, not cinco. You have been a Christian for many years. Ask yourself, how long have I known the Lord? Ask yourself. Ask yourself again. Don't answer, but ask yourself. Say it loud. How long have I? Mention your name. How long has so-and-so? Mention your name. At a point, you ought to be a teacher. My God, I can't leave this point. Growing up spiritually. We could be here for 3 months. It's too much. You ought to be a teacher. You ought to be a teacher. You ought to be. There's a time that you ought to be a teacher. You see, when you have a child, okay, and the child at a certain age is not doing certain things. Let's say you have a child, okay, and the child is 12 years old and they are still in diapers. You see, they ought to be out of diapers by 12 years old. They ought to be out of diapers by 12 years old. They ought to be out of diapers by 12 years old. Yes, that's right. And changing diapers of other siblings. That is what that word ought means. You see, so at a point in your life, you ought to be a teacher. You ought to be somebody who can, we can say, set. You see, an incident that we are even trying to create the environment for you to be able to teach. Still, you won't teach. We've created and we've even moved into chapel shepherds. Chapel leaders and all sorts of shepherds, you know, and field shepherds. What else? Helper shepherd. Every kind of title, just to give you the opportunity to teach. And that's one of the things that this great church has. A bishop creates the opportunity. All right, let's go on. From the time you ought to be teachers, he says, ye have need. You see, when you ought to be given, you rather have need that one again, that one teach you again, which be the first principles. Which be again the first principles. Now listen, don't forget that the Bible is, even though it's written in chapters and verses, the Bible was not originally chapter and verses. So this letter to the Hebrews is just one big letter. But for the sake of reference, and it makes sense, because if you want to refer to a particular portion of this huge letter of so many chapters, we will not be able to, isn't it? So the translators have given it chapters, verses, verse 1, verse 2. So when you read it, don't feel like it's so disjointed and they wrote this long chapter, then they went back and then they added this chapter. No, it's been one same book. Are you understanding? So put a little pause and just jump to chapter 6. All right? And let's look at what are the first principles that he's talking about here. So in chapter 6, verse 1, it says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine. So this is just 2-3 verses down there. This is the principles that he's talking about. That for the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need again that one teach you again, that would be the first principles. So these are the principles. So in other words, anybody who has need of such a thing is a baby. Is not matured. A person who cannot teach and rather has a need that we every day have to explain these things to them means that they are not adults. So what are these first principles? Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go unto perfection. That's the word, perfection. Maturity. Become an adult. What he's saying here is, let's leave basic things behind. Let's leave basic things behind. Let us leave basic things behind and let us move on to perfection. Let us grow up. Tap your neighbor and say, grow up. And tap somebody else and say, we are growing up. So what are these? Number one, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Do you see it? Not laying again the foundation of repentance. Repentance is for babies. Growing up is moving away from sin to the place that you don't always have to. I mean, every time you go before the Lord, it is with guilt. Lord, I have done it again. Lord, oh, it's me, oh, I'm coming. I have done it again. To the point that sometimes you even know that, Lord, for that which I'm about to do, forgive me. You even confess it before you do it. You see, you are a baby. You are a baby. Growing up and becoming mature or moving into perfection is a state.
said, where? You are out of sin. And rather teaching people and helping people move on past that stage as well. Amen. Listen, I'm not saying that we don't sin. You see, but you should get to a point where even when you sin, you don't know it. Do you get what I'm saying? Yes. Yeah. For if we walk in fellowship as he is, we walk in love as he is, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. You see, it's a state of walking in fellowship with God so deep that even when you do something, you don't know, but you are on automatic cleansing. Automatic cleansing. Automatic cleansing. And Lord, Pastor, why did the Lord write to us 1 John 1:9 if we confess our sins? Don't stop there. Go to chapter 2 and read verse 1. It says, I write these things so that you sin not. Don't sin. I'm not writing to you that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive. I'm rather writing it to you so that you do not sin. Read 1 John. It says, the one that is born of God, the seed of God abided in him, and he cannot. You see, cannot is different from you will. Cannot means even if you try it, it don't work. The one that is truly born again. The Bible says the seed of God remained, it abided. The genes, in other words, the person becomes genetically set up. Genetically set up. Because when you are born again, God puts a spirit. God takes a stony heart from you in Ezekiel. He takes a stony heart from you and he puts another spirit, a heart of flesh, a heart means spirit, a spirit of flesh that he can write on. Yeah. Jesus. Yeah. You are genetically engineered not to live in sin, not to be comfortable in sin, not to abide in sin, not to be living comfortably. If you are a Christian and you live comfortably, there is something wrong with you. Something wrong with you. You need help. And I'm not talking you down. I'm helping you here. We're talking about spiritual growth. A person who grows moves away from the principle, basic principle of repentance. Every day repentance. Lord, forgive me. 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 To the point that even there's something wrong. You need another dip in the blood. Another dip. Yes. Are you here or you've gone home? Then it says, and of faith toward God. And of faith toward God. That's also a basic principle. Faith in God. We are all struggling with faith in God. Believing God is supposed to be basic. Believing God. Yeah. We say we believe God, but we're always anxious. Can I show you one of the ways out of anxiety? Yeah. It says, in nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And then what happens? And the peace of God, yeah, is prayer. It's prayer. It's prayer. As we pray more, as we pray more, as we pray more and we linger in the presence of God, you move more into a state of peace. Things will not move you around. Yeah. Those of you who heard Bishop, he was talking about the apostolic anointing. Was it last week? No, last week was the prophetic. The first one was the apostolic, isn't it? Is that right, Lady Pastor? Yeah. And he was talking, he said, you see, when you see great men of God and you see them moving around, it's as though they are walking through gardens and there's never a problem. No. There's a certain anointing that also comes upon you. There's a certain portion of the Spirit of God that comes upon you that makes things not look the way they are. Yeah, that's the difference. And the key is it's all tied in this secret. As you spend time with God, the peace of God, it passeth all understanding. People can't understand. Yeah. People cannot understand. People can't. Do you remember Paul? Was it Paul or Peter? Paul. In the ship. Isn't it? Yeah. In the ship. The shipwreck. He prayed. He had a vision. The angel of the Lord stood by him. The angel of the Lord stood by. You see, the angel of the Lord will not stand by when you are just eating banku and rice and yams and fried yams and you are just sleeping and there's no prayer, no interaction with God. But when you do it, you get to a certain point. And the angel of the Lord stood by him. And the angel assured him. So what happened? He relaxed. And then he was looking at the rest of the people on the ship who were fretting. And relax. The ship may be lost, but none of us will be in any problem. You won't die. It doesn't matter how deep the sea is. We will not die. Don't worry. We'll be okay. We'll be on land. That's the peace of God. It passeth all understanding. Jesus was in a boat with the disciples and he was sleeping. Fast asleep. Perhaps snoring. You see, when you read the Bible, just use your imagination and think of things that happen. I mean, when people sleep deeply, they snore. So Jesus probably was snoring. Maybe. The Bible didn't say, but I'm saying maybe. And in the middle of his peaceful night, he didn't have to take Valium 10. He didn't have to take Valium 5. He did not have to take Benadryl. He was fast asleep and the wind, there was a tempest. There was a storm. I mean, the winds were blowing to the left and to the right. It was just rocking the boat. And Jesus was asleep because Jesus had a certain peace with passeth all understanding. Yes, a certain peace with passeth all. That's the peace I want. And that's the peace you should also want. It comes to people who spend time with him. It comes to people who spend time with him. Yeah, in fact, I'm getting to a point in my life now when I hear people complain, oh, God didn't do this, or oh, why is this happening to me? I just wonder that, before you even talk, how much time have you spent with God? How much time have you spent with the Master? Wow. I don't think we can finish this thing. We cannot. So there were other basic things that he talked about. Faith toward God, doctrine of baptisms. See, not just one baptism, isn't it? There's different kinds of baptisms. Laying on of hands. Basic. And of resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. Go back to chapter 5 again. So he said, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. You see, there's the milk of the word and there's the strong meat of the word. Strong meat belongs to people who are perfect, people who are mature, people who are adults. That's the strong meat. Strong meat. You see, but if you cannot be a teacher, you cannot teach. You cannot even sit down with somebody after today's service that was not here and call the person and say, brother, why were you not in church? Then they tell you why they were. Then if it's not a good excuse, you tell them, you should not dismiss church for such an excuse. And then you say, by the way, do you have your Bible? Take your Bible and turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 5. These are the things that we were taught today. You are teaching somebody. You see, so when you are not in that state and you are still struggling also in addition to the first principle, the Bible says that you are a person who needs milk. Yeah. How many of you here drink milk? I mean whole milk. At least you put some milk in your tea. Come on. Don't you put milk in your coffee? Yeah. So what if I came to church now and I took a big bottle? No. Big. big bottle, maybe 8 ounces, big bottle, or 16 ounces, or 24-ounce bottle. And I put a huge nipple here because, you see, the mouths are big. And I start giving it to you. I say, brother, take this. Sister, take this. You will be offended. Will you not? What does pastor think of me? That at this my age, he's giving me a bottle with a nipple. He's giving me milk in a bottle with a nipple. You'll be offended. Very offended. Extremely offended. Emma, you can go on. Extremely offended. Isn't it? You'll be very offended. But it's like, spiritually, it's okay. Let's stop being an embarrassment to God. Let's stop being an embarrassment to God. At this your age, you still need a bottle. Huge bottle. With a huge nipple. And the nipple, we have to even cut it because the rate of flow will not satisfy. We have to cut the bottle and almost take the whole top off. So that the milk can flow. So he says, you have need of milk instead of strong. Look at verse 13. It says, for everyone that you said milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe. Plain, isn't it? Everyone, including you or me, that you said milk, when you use milk, the Bible is saying that you are unskillful. You are unskillful. You got no skills in the word of righteousness, and you are a baby. If we gave you strong meat, you choke on it. Yeah. You cannot handle Willie. Ask your neighbor, do you know Willie? Or Willie? Yeah. How many of you know cow hide? Is it a hide? Yeah. Some people make stew with it. Hard, jelly-like. I mean, when you're chewing, you have to be careful how you chew it. If you try to swallow it prematurely, it lodges between up and down. And then you can see that. You have to gently chew it and make sure you chew it and to the point where you can swallow before you swallow. That's the willy. She can't give that to a baby. Give it to a baby, the baby is gone. Let's end with 14. But strong meat, everybody say strong meat, belongeth to them that are full of age. Strong meat is for adults. Strong meat is for adults. It is for people who are full of age, not babies. Then he describes these adults more. It says, even those who by reason of use. You see, so one of the characteristics of an adult Christian, a matured Christian, is one that puts into use the word. Who by reason of use, strong meat belongs to him who by reason of use, they use what they hear. Get to the point where when you are in a situation, what the first thing you ask yourself is, what does God's word say? You feel like doing the wrong thing, ask yourself, what does God's word say? You feel like doing something that is uncalled for, ask yourself, what does the word of God say? You feel like not loving somebody, ask yourself, what does the word of God say? If you don't know, call somebody who knows. Or get a concordance. Or Google. Get a verse about what God says about the situation. It says, for strong meat, it belongeth to them who by reason of use. And what has happened? By reason of use, have their senses Exercise. You see, exercise is an active word. You make yourself do it. I mean, when you wake up in the morning, it's not a feeling of I want to do some 10 press-ups before I bath. It's actually going down in the bathroom on your belly and pushing up, doing the push-ups. That it's exercising. Exercise. You make yourself do it. You make yourself. So it says that strong meat, it belongs to those who by reason of use have exercise themselves. They have exercise. They make themselves do it. Yeah. Yeah. God had blessed us with all blessings in spiritual place. He's giving you everything that pertains to life and godliness. Listen, everything has been provided. You have to rise up and exercise yourself. Exercise. Get up and push. Do press ups. You feel not like not loving somebody in the church. Push yourself up and begin to love the person. You feel like not talking to somebody. Rise up and begin to talk to the person. Exercise yours. That is maturity. And that's why he's described. He says, those who by reason of use, they have excess. Listen, it is not the feeling of not wanting something. The feeling of not liking somebody. That, Lord forgive me if I'm saying the wrong. That is the wrong thing. It's not a good thing to think that way. But it is what you do with it. Amen. It's a thought. Go above the thought. Exercise yourself. Yeah. It's not easy to love an enemy. When God says love your enemies, I mean somebody who is always trying to slaughter you. An enemy. But God says love him. Love her. You exercise yourself. Then he says that have reason of this, have your sense of exercise to discern both good and evil. Both good and evil. Give me the amplified version of this. We'll end with that. Give me that. Where's the amplified? It says, but solid food is for full-grown men. For those whose senses and mental faculties are trained by practice to discriminate and distinguish between what is morally good and noble and what is evil and contrary either to the divine or human law. Yeah. You do it. It's exercise. Yeah. And those who can attain this. You see, so for a lot of people, especially people who have been in the Lord for long, you are due for maturity. Amen. Tap your neighbor and say, you are due for maturity. Yeah. Let's grow up. We are due for maturity. Tap somebody else and say, you are due for. Or tell them that pastor says I should tell you that you are due for maturity. Mrs. Ganyu, say it's okay to say it to your husband. We are in church, don't worry. Say it to somebody else. In fact, get up from your seat and go and say to 3 people that pastor says that you are due for maturity. Oh, come on. Come on. Say it to 3 people. Don't be afraid. Tell them that pastor says, I should tell you, that God says. Say it this way. Pastor says, I should tell you, that God says that you are due for maturity. Pastor says, I should tell you that God says that you are due for maturity. Amen. I said amen. Do I have some saints in the house? Stand to your feet and lift up your right hand and say, I will grow up spiritually. Say, I will exercise myself. I will exercise myself. I will exercise myself. I will exercise myself spiritually as I grow up. In Jesus' name. Say that I'm beginning to be ready. I am beginning to be ready. And say, in fact, I am ready for strong men. Turn to your neighbor and say, strong men. Say, bring it on, bring it on, bring it on, strong men. Yeah, one day I was talking to Rebecca and I was trying to tell her I was going to do something. I said, bring it on, Pastor, bring it on, Pastor. I said, wow. Turn to your neighbor and say, bring it on, bring it on. Say, bring it on the heart, strong men. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Come on, give your hands, put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Listen, there's a small book. We don't have it here. It's called The Secret. All right? It is written by Bishop Dakie Ward-Mills. I'm preaching basically from it. I'm just adding a little bit of what I've learned as a result of reading the book. So get it. And by the way, the one who borrowed two books from here, can you kindly return it, all right? These books are not, they are not for sale. They are purely for display and purely for me, all right? So there are two books missing, one and two, all right? So I'm asking you to please return them. I know you took it by mistake. Just bring them, all right? Sometimes your children grab them. So if you see a strange book in your house, just bring it back, okay? Two important books are missing, all right? Please be seated. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Close your eyes as we end in prayer. If you are here today, you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It begins by being born again. You have to be born again. You have to be born again. You have to give your life to Jesus Christ. You have to receive Him as your Lord and Savior. You have to get to this point. That is where it all be. Get born again. And then you grow up in Him spiritually. Anybody here who is not born again, you want to say, Jesus, I want to give my life to you today. Just raise up your hand and I'll pray with you. Anybody here? Anybody here? So you want to say, Jesus, I want to give my life to you. Jesus. Anybody? Don't look around, please. Make it easy. Now, if you're also here and perhaps you've been a Christian for a while, but you know you are not where you're supposed to be. We've preached about growing up spiritually, but maybe you want to also rededicate your life to Christ. And have a fresh beginning with Him. Just raise up that hand and I'll pray with you. Anybody here? Anybody here? Want to say, Pastor, pray with me, pray for me. I want to rededicate my life to Christ. Anybody here? Jesus. Jesus is waiting, waiting, loving you. Loving you, loving you, loving you, loving you. And He's ready to take you just as you are. Anybody here? I will help you. Anybody here? All right. Thank you, Lord. Father, we bless you. We honor you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody say this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you that you love me so dearly. You gave your only son, Jesus Christ, to die for me. I receive Him today as my Lord, my Savior. I rededicate my life to Him. And Father, thank you that you love me just as I am and you will help me from today. I look forward to working more closely with you beginning today. This is it. Say, this is it. This is my new beginning in Jesus' name. Amen. I prayed that prayer because I felt maybe there may be somebody here who was shy to stand up. So if you pray this prayer, I still would like to talk to you. So just come up to me after church or come to Lady Pastor here and we'll talk to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you're paying your tithes, just come up.